This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
This week's parasha is Parashas Kisisa. At the very end of the parasha, there's a very cryptic few psukim, and it speaks about a mask that Moshe Rabbeinu wore. Vayechal Moshe medaber itam vayiten al panav masva. When Moshe Rabbeinu stopped talking to Klal Yisrael, he would put on his face a masva, a mask, that would protect the people from seeing his shine, his karan arpanav, his great shine, a divine light that came from him. He would put on a mask. And the way the Mefarshim understand this is that when he was giving shir to Klal Yisrael, when he was speaking to Klal Yisrael, Divrei Torah, he took the mask off. And when he stopped giving shir, then he would put the mask back on. And the question is, why did he not keep the mask on when he was giving shir? Why, when he was speaking Divrei Torah, was there almost like a natural need to remove the mask? Let him give shir with a mask on. If it's such an impossible thing to look at Moshe Rabbeinu without the mask, so why all of a sudden when he's giving shir, is there that he needed to take the mask off? What was this need to take the mask off? Couldn't he keep it on? And the simple answer is that there's a pasuk in Yeshaya. This pasuk is very famous because it's on every sukkah poster. And the pasuk says, "V'hayu einecha royes esmeirecha," that your eyes should see your teachers. Your eyes should see your Rabbeim. It's a pasuk that is a very important pasuk because it's very important that a Talmud sees the face of his Rebbe. And part of the Messiah of Torah, part of the giving over of Torah from one dar to the next, is the fact that a person is able to see the face of his Rebbe. Listening to Shiurim online, listening to it on a tape, on a recording, is wonderful. It's tremendous. It's, you know, you're able to hear millions of Shiurim today online, millions, tens of millions of hours on Torah Anytime and on every single platform, podcasts, and there's endless amounts of Shiurim that you could listen to, but it's not a replacement for being able to sit in a shir room and watch the face of your Rebbe, watch the nuances of your Rebbe, watch the different ways that he expresses a thought, a smile, not a non-smile, a way that he's able to gesture with his hands. All of that is part and parcel of the Messiah of Torah. And you can listen as much as you want, but that's not the same as being able to see a Rebbe. V'hayu einecha royes esmeirecha. And so as a result of this dictate, as a result of this mandate of Yeshaya and Perek Lamed Pasuk Chaf, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to take the mask off when he's giving shir. You can't give shir with a mask on. It has to be able, you have to be seen by your Talmidim. The Talmidim have to be able to see the purity and the Hamsara of Torah and how it's a geshmak by the Rebbe and how it's Masa Kidvash and his smile and his, if he's happy with the Svara, if he's not happy with the Svara, the way he starts shir, the way he ends shir, the way he there's a Masa Matan with a Talmud in the middle of shir, all of that is a chelak of the Mesira of Torah. I just mentioned last Shabbos in this very room when we were speaking about the Gedolim that I was zeichet to know, and I was saying about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, how for some reason I was zeichet to be in his shir in Kol Torah in Yerushalayim, and the ability to see Rav Shlomo Zalman with human eyes, to be able to behold a tzura of a person that was so holy and that was so pure, and he would take his glasses off at the beginning of shir, and it was very hard to concentrate on the shir itself, because I mamish saw a Malach Hashem Tzvakis in front of me. And that's part of, that's, you, there's no substitute for that. That's part of Shir, that's part of the Mesira of Taira, Talmud Taira, Midar Ladar, is that a Talmud sees the face of a Rebbe. V'hayu einecha royes es mayrecha. That's one pshat, and a very important pshat, as to why Moshe Rabbeinu had to take off the mask when he was giving Shir. V'yichal, Moshe medaber itam, when Moshe Rabbeinu finished giving over Taira, then and only then, v'yitin alav masva. Then he put a mask on his face, but until that, he was not able to. That's not giving over Torah. With a mask is not giving over Torah. But I saw a beautiful Yisayda Haysafa on this from Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose yard site was last week. He says as follows in the Darash Moshe. He gives another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu needed to put on a mask, needed to take off the mask rather when he was giving shir. And he says as follows, that it's not mitzad that the Talmidim should see the Rebbe. That's one thing, that's what we just discussed. But there's an additional reason why Moshe Rabbeinu had to remove the mask when he was giving shir. It says, Ramesha, that it's so that the Rebbe could see the Talmidim. As important as it is for the Talmud to see the Rebbe while he's giving shir, the Rebbe has to be able to see the Talmidim while he's giving shir. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu had to take off the mask. Why does a Rebbe need to see the Talmidim? Because a Rebbe's job is to make sure that a Talmud is understanding shir on a very basic level. A Rebbe is able to look around the room when he's giving shir and see who's understanding the shir, who's not understanding shir, and maybe has to repeat the shir if there's a Talmud that seems a little confused. Maybe he has to lower the level of the shir, maybe he has to raise the level of the shir based on what he sees in front of him. But a Rebbe has to be very versatile based on the needs of the Talmidim to give shir accordingly. There are some years that a Rebbe is able to give a shir on a very high level. There are some years that the Talmidim are not holding there and the Rebbe has to sort of water down the shir a little bit, distill the shir, dilute the shir. And that's all because a Rebbe has the ability to see the Talmidim's faces. Just thinking in passing when Rav Aaron Schechter, another one of the Gedolim that I was zeicha to know, so he would give shir in yeshiva. He would give shir sometimes in a room maybe double the size of this room, and it was packed. There was maybe 150, 200 guys. But sometimes he gave a mimer in the Beis Medrash in Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin has a huge Beis Medrash, beautiful big Beis Medrash. And then there were maybe 1,000 Talmidim that were there by a mimer, if it's before a yantif or on a yantif or Rav Hutner's yard site, whatever the occasion might have been. And he had an amazing knack, an uncanny ability. He would start the shir, before he would start the shir, whether it was upstairs in the, in his regular, in the Ezra's Nashim where he gave shir, or in the Beis Medrash, he would look around the room, scan the entire room from one end to the other, and he'd be able to know exactly who was there, and more importantly, who was not there. And if a Talmud was not there, they would hear about it. It would be like mamish, literally a tipa shebayam, but he would be able to know and to hone in on who's not there. He chapped who was there, but he was able to know who's not there, and he would sometimes ask me, "Moshe, were you at the mimer yesterday?" And I was like, I could either lie and go for it, or I could just fess up. And I said, "No, I had an important thing." But he chapped. He knew exactly who was at the mimer and who was not at the mimer. A Rebbe has to be able, it's not giving a shir in an echo chamber in a room and everybody is just, he's giving a performance and he's not connected with his ilam. A Rebbe, a Rav, has this connection. There has to be a connection and there has to be the ability for a Rebbe to see the faces of the Talmidim. I don't know how Moshe Rabbeinu's mask looks. I guess You know, it wasn't a mask like we have, you know, the COVID mask that you're able to, or a mask just over the head. Apparently, according to Ramesh, it was a mask that covered his eyes as well. But whatever it may be, this is how Ramesh understands the need to have a masva when he's to not have a masva b'shas that he is giving shir. And this is the way that it's always been between a rabbi and a talmud. This is the important relationship that exists between a rabbi and a talmud. A rabbi and a talmud is a relationship that really spans the Messiah from Har Sinai until today, and it's midar ladar that you need a rabbi and you need talmidim, and the rabbi has to be seen by the talmidim. There can't be a mask, and also the Talmidim must see the Rebbe. And by doing so, a Rebbe is able to understand the Talmud's needs, not only in learning, but bichlal. He has to understand and touch up a Talmud so that he really can build a Talmud. If you don't know a Talmud, if you don't have a real connection, a real relationship with a Talmud, it's impossible to really do the entire job that a Rebbe needs to do with a Talmud. A Talmud is not just somebody that learns from a Rebbe. For that, you can go online, there's a million shirim you could listen to, and you can have 100,000 Rebbeim. A Rebbe, in the truest sense, is a Rebbe that cares for the needs of the Talmud in learning, and not in learning, to be like a father to a Talmud, to be caring to a Talmud, to give the Talmud his time and his love and his attention and his focus. All of that is part of what the job of a Rebbe is. Rav Huttner once said to a Talmud that was in another yeshiva with a very famous Rosh Yeshiva, and this Rosh Yeshiva was a Gain Olam, and they were talking about, this Talmud came and spoke to Rav Huttner, and one of the things they were talking about is, you know, about this Rosh Yeshiva, and he said, that Rosh Yeshiva that you have is a Gain Olam. He's an unbelievable Gain, and I know what he does all night. What he does all night is he's up all night with his Rambam, and he's mamish harving over the Rambam, trying to understand the svar of the Rambam, trying to be miyashiv stiris in the Rambam, trying to be miyashiv different understandings, how Rishayim argue with the Rambam. That's all he does all night. He says, but you know what I do? Huttner was an expert pedagogue. He was like his rabbi. The Alter of Slabotka was able to build his Talmidim as individuals into Gedalim. Rav Huttner did the same thing for his Talmidim. And he says, I'll tell you what I do all night. He says, I'm not with the Rambam all night. He says, I'm worrying about each and every Talmud that I have. He says, I'm building my Talmidim. I'm wondering why this Talmud is a little sad, and what this Talmud needs from me, and what this Talmud has too much of, and how I could work on that. That's all part of a Rebbe being able to bond with a Talmud by seeing him, by being able to be margish who he is and what he is and the growth that he's having, or maybe stalled growth, and going over to the Talmud afterwards and being able to work with him to make himself great. Rav Huttner had a great Talmud. His name was Rav Shlomo Freifeld. Rav Shlomo Freifeld was a Rosh Yeshiva of Shar Yashuv. He was one of the pioneers of Kiruv in America. And his yeshiva produced a whole kehila that many of them still live in Far Rockaway, a very chashava balabatim and bnei taira and rabbanim. And today the yeshiva grew, and it's, you know, a very large yeshiva. It's a little bit, it didn't stay on that exact track of being a place for Bali Tshuva, but it became a little bit more mainstream, but it still, I think, has some of that Reb Shlomo Freifeld spirit in it. But Reb Shlomo Freifeld was amazing with this way of his Rebbe, to be able to really care about every single Talmud. It's not a one-size-fits-all type of experience, but a yeshiva is a place you go, and your Rebbe is supposed to be able to understand what your unique, specific needs are, and work with them to nutz ice, to be menatzel your kaiches, to really develop those innate kaiches that every Talmud has, until that Talmud is able to really be atsha hashalheves oilam eileh, until the flame is able to grow all by itself. And Reb Shlomo Freifeld once had a Talmud. This is a beautiful story. If you want to read a great book, it's called Reb Shlomo. It's about Reb Shlomo Freifeld. It's written by Yisrael Besser. And it's not published by Arts Girl. I think it's Israel Bookshop. But it's a phenomenal book. Phenomenal sefer. And it really brings out the beauty of Reb Shlomo Freifeld and his kaiches. And there was a Talmud that came to him. And he grew up, I think, in Brooklyn. And then he went off the derech. And where did he go when he went off the derech? He was very fascinated his whole life with American Indians. American Indians. So I don't know, you know, he loved the Sioux Indians. He was very, he loved the, you know, the whole, all the teepee and the peace pipe and the Shemayna Begadim and, you know, all the things that the Indians were, he loved that. When I was growing up as a kid, I had a teacher in Hebrew Academy of Long Beach. She was a great teacher. I'm not sure if she's alive anymore. Her name is Mrs. Saltzman, and she, great teacher, and she also loved the American Indians. And every summer, she would go to a plantation with her husband, different plantation somewhere in America, and she would stay there, and she would fabreng with them. She would bring back like moccasins and wallets, and she loved American Indians. And it's this Talmud had this thing for American Indians, and Itaka went to, I don't know, South Dakota, to a plantation, to a reservation, I think it's called, actually. And that's where, and he stayed there, and he spent time with them, and a whole long story. I think, you know, he finally got to meet the chief, who was a woman. Like, she was the head of the tribe, and she asked him about his background, and he said, he said he's Jewish. And you know, he grew up in Brooklyn, and he studied the Torah and Gemara. But then, you know, he decided to go off the derech, and she basically said this, you know, this Graysa Chachama, you know, who was like the head of this big, big Indian tribe. She says, I don't understand. She said, you are a member of the tribe of the man on the Black Mountain, and there's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. And you're coming here for Chachma, you're coming here for, you know, to get our Chachma, are you crazy? Like, you know, you have a Messiah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And like, he was Makabel the Musar from this lady, and he basically went back home to Brooklyn. Said, if she's the Gadol Hadar and she's telling me I should go back to Brooklyn, I gotta go back to Brooklyn. And somebody told him, go to Reb Shlomo Freifeld in Far Rockaway, and he's very good with these things. I think you'll like him, and you know, he's a very nice person. He'll teach you, he'll warm you up. Anyway, he went to visit Reb Shlomo Freifeld, and then Reb Shlomo Freifeld was very, very makabel upon him, very, you know, beautifully, as he always was. And he says, you know what, go down, learn, take a room in the dormitory and get a chavrusa. He arranged everything. And a few days from now, we'll talk. So anyway, he got a bed in the dormitory, and he started learning with the chavrusa. And then, you know, a day or two later, he came back to the office, and Reb Shlomo was sitting in his seat by his desk, and he sat in front of him, and they started schmoozing and talking a little bit. And then Reb Shlomo Freifeld was called out of the office. He had like an important phone call he had to take outside. So this young man, he got up, and he started looking at, you know, the sarim around the office, and he was looking here, looking there, and he notices that under Freifeld's desk, there was like a stack of books. And he knew that, you know, you don't keep sarim on the floor, that much he remembered. And he was confused, like, what sarim would Freifeld keep on the floor? Anyway, he bent down, and he saw that he had taken out of the public library a whole stack of books on American Indians. And the American Indians, Bechlal, and I don't know, this particular tribe, Befrat, and the Minhagim of American Indians, and the history of American Indians, and what's happening today with American Indians. Now today you have the internet, you don't need that. He went to the library, Bechleide Ba'atzmai, and took out books for one Talmud out of many, many Talmudim in the Beis Medrash. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to understand the mahus of this Talmud. What's making this Talmud tick? What does he see in the American Indian? What's the, and that way, if I'm able to understand you know, the personality of the American Indian, what that does for a person, what their sheifas are. Now I could be madrich this Talmud according to his personal derech. It's not a one-size-fits-all type of chinuch. I'm not giving everybody the same treatment. Every person is individual. Every person has their own unique milus and chesroinus and yetzer ha-tayv and yetzer ha-ra and sheifas and madregas and potential. And a Talmud deserves his Rebbe to care enough about him to try to find what makes him unique and bring out that uniqueness. And as soon as this Talmud saw that Rav Freifeld cared about him enough to go and read up, spend time going to the library, reading up on him, that he was sold. And that was it. He was, I think he's still in Chayotrik today. You know, 100 years later, he's not? No, okay. So he's somewhere, but he's somewhere? Okay. You know him? It's not you, right? Okay. That's the way these stories normally end, right? Okay, so that is one maisi. You know, while I was saying about Rav Huttner used to say about a certain yeshiva that they have, in that yeshiva, they have a sedayim bed. What does it mean they have a sedayim bed? They have, in sedayim, Chazal say that everybody in sedayim had to be identical. They didn't want any differences between any disparity. Everything had to be the same. It's sort of like socialism. Everybody lives the same, gets the same toothbrush, gets the same car, gets the same, everyone, no one can be different. And the he said that, you know, and Chazal tell us that if somebody was too tall in Sedaim, like everyone had to be, let's say, 5'5". If somebody's over 5'5", no problem. They put you on this bed and they'd cut off your feet up so that you're 5'5". If you're 5'7", if you're 5'3", they would put you on a bed and they would like stretch you. They would have like a mechanism that you could actually, you know, stretch the person out, so now he's 5'5". But everybody has to be the exact same way. And Rav Huttner said, that's how certain yeshivas operate. We want to make everybody exactly the same. Everybody has to dress the same, everybody has to look the same, everybody has to think the same, everybody has to go to the same camp, everyone has to go to the same kaitel, everybody has to go to the same thing, and no one can be any different than one another. We have to make everybody cookie cutter exactly the same. And Rav Huttner was very against this. It works in a certain sense because, you know, everybody sort of is churned out, you know, very similar and same idea, same, so it's easy to do, it's an assembly line type of chinuch, but Rav Huttner felt that that's a very great avla, because a Rebbe has to know every Talmud, and he has to understand that Talmidim are unique. No two Talmidim are the same. You cannot apply the same rules of engagement with one Talmud as another Talmud. It's different. Different. And if you look at Rav Huttner's Talmidim, you know, at least the main ones, but even the not main ones, like, you know, Rav Huttner made Talmidim, and they're each great people, but very different. Rav Huttner had a Rav Aaron Schechter, who was Rosh Shiva, you know, very, you know, if you could say classic Litvish Rosh Shiva, a brilliant man, a creative man, a big Baal Avaida. And then there's the Novominsky Rebbe, who's a Talmud. He, you know, he became the Rebbe, the Rosh Agudas Yisrael. He became like the head of the Agudas Yisrael, and he was the Rebbe. And, you know, one of the main Rebbes in America. And then he had a Reb Feivel Cohen, the Badia Shulchan, who was one of the Paiskim of America. And he had a Reb Hillel David, another type of Paisik, but in a different mold. And he had a Reb David Cohen. And then he had and then he created Balabatim that were amazing Balabatim that support yeshiva, Chaim Berlin, and they support other yeshivas, but in a very beautiful way, in a very tayridical way, a holy way. And he created, this didn't happen by chance. This wasn't like, it happened because he worked on every Talmud, like the Alter's Rebbe worked on his many Talmudim. He worked on, the Alter worked on Rav Huttner and Rav Ruderman and Rav David Leibowitz from Chavetz Chaim and Rav Shach and Rav Aaron Cutler. All these Gedalim were produced by Slabotka, by the Alter. Because the Alter saw Rav Aaron Kotler and his kaiches, and he gave him what he needed, and then he gave Rav Huttner his unique kaiches, what he needed, and his hadracha, and then he gave Rav Shach what he needed. Every person got what they needed to become the great people that they became. And there are many, you know, the list goes on and on. I could, you know, Ramelia Kaplan, who was a poet and a singer and a massive Talmud Chacham, not a singer in the classical, he created songs, and he was, you know, every single person had a different nefesh, and Rav Huttner was able to see, without a mask, he was able to see what this Talmud needed. The altar saw this, Rav Huttner saw this, and all the people in the line of this Messiah being able to see the Talmud and understand their needs is a very difficult thing. It takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of pichas, it takes a lot of wisdom to understand human nature and what makes each person unique. But this is what a Talmud deserves. When he comes into yeshiva, he deserves a Rebbe that cares enough about him to give him time. And he has to also, in turn, give the Rebbe the time to be seen by the Rebbe. So if a person comes to shir, then, you know, the Rebbe could see him and say, oh, he looks a little bit different today than yesterday. What's going on? Call him over afterwards and have a word. But if he's in the dorm sleeping, then he's not doing his part of the relationship, so it's very hard to expect the Rebbe to go and do what he's supposed to be doing. So it's a two-way street. It's a real relationship, a Rebbe and a Talmud. And this is what we learn from Ramesha's Yisayid. The beautiful story, I love this Maisa. There was once a Talmud who was in a junior high school, maybe seventh grade, and he was struggling a lot, and he had a very difficult time doing well on tests and chapping shir, and you know, and then there was, and the Rebbe really, really cared about him, gave him a lot of time and a lot of patience, a lot of love, and a lot of chizuk. And then there was like a very big test at the end of the year, like one of these cumulative, you know, bechinas of the entire year, and you know, to 100 questions on the whole perek or the whole or multiple prakim. It was a very big stress for this Talmud, and all the Talmidim they prepared a lot for, and this Talmud was trying his hardest and really, really trying his utmost. It wasn't easy for him. And then Vayi Hayayim, everyone's sitting in their seats in the classroom and they have the test in front of them. And the Rebbe's like proctoring the test and he's looking around the room and he sees that this boy, Yasala, he's like looking at like a sheet. There's like a sheet on his desk and he like looks at the sheet and then he starts writing an answer. And then like he looks at the sheet again and he starts writing the answer. The Rebbe is like trying to look away. He doesn't want to think that his Talmud's cheating. But he is, you know, after a while, it's like ridiculous. Like he keeps on, like every time that he has a question, he looks at his sheet again and he after the test is over, all the boys leave the room. He calls over Yasala and he says, Yasala, he says, you know, I'm a little disappointed. He says, why, Rebbe? He says, because I saw, you know, I saw you had that sheet on your desk. We don't bring answers into the test. We don't bring answers into the test. He says, Rebbe, I don't know what you're talking about. What, you know, he's like fumfering. So he says, let me see the sheet. So he pulls out of his pocket the sheet. But it wasn't a sheet. It was a letter that this Rebbe had written him at one point in the year when he was doing well, and he wrote to this Talmud, he says, Yasla, I'm so proud of you. You're doing amazing, keep it up. You know, I'm behind you 100%. He says, and Rebbe says, I keep this sheet in my pocket, and every time I have any Chalish Sadas, I look at this sheet and it gives me chizuk. He says, a lot of times I was looking at these questions and I thought I knew the answer, but I wasn't sure if it was the right answer, and I needed your sheet to give me the chizuk to go and write the answer, and then I knew that it was the right answer. That's the relationship of a Rebbe and a Talmud. The Rebbe obviously felt pretty bad, but that is what a Rebbe, that's a Rebbe. Rebbe is supposed to be somebody that's a guiding light for a Talmud, that gives the Talmud what he needs when he needs it. I have Talmidim that I still have a kesher to from 20 years ago. And through thick and through thin, whether they're Rachman Litzlan sick in a hospital, or they're making a simcha, or they're making a bar mitzvah, or they're having tzaras shalom bayis issues, or they're having, we speak every day, have texts and WhatsApps and calls, and that's what a Rebbe Talmud is. And it's hard. It's not always so easy. It takes a lot of time, but that's the least that a Talmud could expect from a Rebbe. But the caveat is that a Talmud has to be there for the Rebbe. Just like Rebbe is there for a Talmud, the Talmud has to be there for the Rebbe. Sometimes some of them say, you don't care about me. Do you come to Shir? Do you come to davening? Revolbi once wrote a letter. It's in one of his igris. Revolbi was also one of these great master mechanchim, and he writes, this is a different letter, he writes, Iker hachinuch harehu livnais adam. The main chinuch is to build a person. That's what chinuch is all about. It's not giving information. You can hear information, someday you'll be able to have with AI or whatever, you'll have some hard drives, flash drives that you put into your brain, and you'll have shas in your brain. That's not what a Rebbe's job is. A Rebbe's job is not to convey information. To convey information, there's many other ways to get information. A Rebbe's job is, says Revolbi, live nice adam, to build the mensch. Yes, part of building a man is to teach him Torah, teach him halacha, teach him anhaga, teach him midas, teach him hashkafas. That's part of building a man, but it's not just that, it's everything. Ubinyan zen nasa yedei shemakirim es ha-talmud. How do you build a person? First, I have to know the person. If you go to a psychologist at Lahavdil, and a psychologist can't just start giving out eitzes to you before he gets to know you. First, there has to be a consultation. I have to hear, let me hear your side of the story. Let me hear your whole, from Bereshis. Let me hear your whole story and who your parents are, who your siblings are, how your relationships are. After I hear everything, now I could start working on building it. But I have to know you. I have to be makir the Talmud. V'nichnasim l'bayayisa v'ayizrim lay lifterayisam. And they come in, they enter into the Talmud's problems and help him solve these problems. V'naisalna mahalchem b'amunah b'tayra b'midais, and gives them a mahalach, gives them an approach, gives the Talmud an approach in Amuna, in Taira, in Yira, in Halacha, in Midas. All of that is the job of it. It's a big job a Rebbe has. Rebbe is not just prepare Shir, prepare Shir, prepare Shir. It's part of it, but that's a very small part of it. A real job of a Rebbe is to build a Talmud. But now that I told you what Revolbi said in that letter, I'll tell you what he said in another letter. And this letter he put on the door of the Beis Medrash. He was a mashkiach in a yeshiva called Ber Yaakov. He's also a mashkiach in many yeshivas throughout Eretz Yisrael. He's a mashkiach in Kol Torah also. On Shabbos afternoon, between Mincha and Ma'ariv, we'd eat Shal Shuz, and we'd go and hear shmuzim from Revolbi before Ma'ariv on Matzai Shabbos. And Revolbi put a sign on the door, and he says as follows. He says, somebody slipped an anonymous letter underneath my office door, which are the worst. Whenever somebody writes an anonymous letter, you should rip it up. Because if somebody doesn't have the guts to sign their name to a letter, it's really just a pot shot at you. It doesn't mean anything. It's like, if you want to speak about it, you have a problem, so talk to me about it. But don't give me an anonymous letter. It's very dirty to write an anonymous letter to Rebbe and make the Rebbe wonder. It could be now anybody in the yeshiva that wrote it. And very often it's very biting and it's not nice, it's critical. It wasn't nice. Anyway, but somebody even did this to Revolbi. He had the chutzpah to do this to Revolbi. And they said they had a problem with Revolbi, that he's mashgiach in yeshiva, but they don't feel that, he's reaching out to every Talmud to get to know them properly and to really understand them. Exactly what Revolbi says is the job of Rebbe. He felt they were accusing this person anonymously, cowardly, was accusing Revolbi of doing that in the yeshiva, that he had a few talmidim that he spent time with, but other than that, he really didn't know people's, he wasn't spending the proper time as a mashkiach to be able to deal with every single person individually. So Revolbi says, first of all, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he writes in the letter, don't write anonymous letters, it's not nice, there's no tales from it. So normally I wouldn't even address it, but I felt that I should. And he said the following, and when he wrote this, I felt a great menuchas hanefesh myself. Because sometimes I'm also personally plagued. You know, we have Baruch Hashem, big yeshiva, and, you know, hundreds of guys, and we're very proud of that. But, you know, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to, you know, everybody's names, let alone know everybody's story and personal, you know, needs. And so maybe, you know, we're all falling short of what we're supposed to be doing. But Revolvi writes as follows. He says, the job of a yeshiva is to prepare a person for real life. That's really what a yeshiva is. It's training ground so that you're able to have hashkafa for life, and you're able to have, you know, to know what you need to know to get you through life. He says, in real life, a rav of a shul is not coming over to you and schmoozing with you about your problems. If you have a problem, you go over to the rav, you go over to the rebbe, you know, to whatever it is, to Rosh Kailal, and you go over to them and you speak about your issues, you introduce yourself, you create a kesher yourself. It has to come organically. It has to come from you reaching out, because a rav is very busy. A rav might have hundreds of mispalim. He doesn't have time for it. He gives a drasha, and he'll go to visit you in a hospital, Rachman Ulzan, or he'll be maspid amazed. But he doesn't have time to spend with every single individual constantly. He just doesn't. He says, so in yeshiva, a Talmud has to understand that there are rabbeim in the yeshiva, but it's your job. It's not the Rebbe's job to go and approach every single guy and say, tell me what's going on in your day. Tell me what's doing in your life. Tell me about your family. You have to go over to the Rebbe and say, this is what's going on with me. I feel like I'm doing really well in this, but I'm slipping up in this. I feel that I have an issue with my family. I have an issue with my wife. I have an issue with my colleague. I have an issue with a roommate. And tell me what I should do, Rebbe. I don't know what I should do. But it has to come from the Talmud. The Talmud has to initiate the process, because a Rebbe simply, like a Rav later in life, will not have the time to come over to every single person in yeshiva. And that is very much, you know, in line with, I think, just what every Rebbe in the world feels. And I think it's really it's just the reality. The reality is that Rebbeim are here. Rabbeim are here, and Rabbeim will give you all the time that you need, assuming that they have the time, but, you know, if not, they'll make an appointment for a different time. But it has to come, it has to be initiated by the Talmud. And once the Talmud comes, now the Rebbe will be able to give you all of his time and all of his etzus and all of his love. But it can't, you know, if a Talmud gets break, it's because a Rebbe's not, was in the yeshiva 3 years and nobody ever came up. Yeah, you could have that taina, but it's not a realistic taina. This is what Revolvi said, and if Revolvi said it, to me it's money in the bank. To me it's das lira. So there's this two-way street with this mask that Moshe Rabbeinu took off every time he gave shir. Because there's a two-way street and a relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud. A Rebbe has to be able to see a Talmud, and to be margish a Talmud, his ups, his downs, his highs, his lows, his good times, his bad times, whatever he's going through, all of his challenges, that's a Rebbe's job. He has to take off the mask and see the Talmud. It's not just delivering a shir in a dark auditorium and like a singer that's just like, and everybody applauds at the end, and I don't have a kesher with you, you don't have a kesher with me. It's an experience. A Rebbe giving shir, a Rebbe giving a shmooze, a Rebbe giving a vat is an experience that a Rebbe's able to see the Talmud and to see where he's holding, and if he's being inspired and being moved and being changed and being educated. That's part of what a Rebbe's job is. But there's also the other side of the equation, that a Rebbe has to see that the Talmud has to see the Rebbe. And I would say that that's the first step. The Talmud has to come to Shir, has to come to a Shmuz, he has to come to the Vaad, and he has to come to a Chabura. He has to be there. And then once he's there, now he's a real Talmud, and then he should, you know, follow up and go over to the Rebbe after Shir and say, you know, what his thoughts are, ask a Kasha or ask a Kwa. And then the relationship builds, and then the Rebbe becomes a Rebbe. And then the Talmud becomes a Talmud, and the Rebbe becomes a bigger Rebbe, and a Talmud. But there's a relationship that has to congeal around Torah, and it involves both parties being present. If a Talmud's not present, it's unfair to expect a Rebbe to chase after him wherever he may be. That's not part of the Rebbe's role. But when a Talmud does come to Shir, and does come to a shmuz and does come to the things that he has to, now it's the obligation of a Rebbe to reach out and to make sure that everything that the Talmud needs is taken care of. It's the two sides of this mass, this just a little pasuk in Chumash, how much we learn from it, how much we learn from the semel of Messiah of Tyra, from Moshe Kibel Tyra Misina Messiah Yeshua, this relationship of Sinai till today that remains the same. You can have all the shirim in the world in your ear pod, but it doesn't substitute, it's no substitute for Rebbe giving over a shir that a Talmud sees the Rebbe, and the Rebbe sees the Talmud. And Mitzvah Hashem, we look forward to going further throughout the year and throughout our lives. And Mitzvah Hashem, I appreciate everybody that's here. Everybody that's, I was just telling somebody that, you know, as much as the yeshiva boasts, you know, whatever they do in the, you know, in the promotional material that they proliferate, the honest truth is, and maybe I shouldn't be saying this on camera, the honest truth is that there's far fewer amounts of people that are really Talmidim in the yeshiva. A Talmud in yeshiva does not mean that their name is, you know, that they're registered and that they're matriculated and that they're getting credits and they're, you know, they're enrolled. That's baloney. That doesn't mean it. That's good for college. Maybe the college is happy with that. Yeshiva means that you're coming. Yeshiva means that you're invested in the yeshiva. You come to davening in yeshiva every morning. You come to shir in yeshiva. You come to seder every single day. And you have your chavrusa and you're here. And you come to the sicha on you know, on the day that the sicha is given on Mondays after mincha, and you stay. You don't run out with 100 other guys. And you come to the mishmar on Thursday nights, and you come to the shmuz on Friday morning. You stay for Shabbos as much as you can, and you stay for Purim, and you come to the mesiba, and you come to the if you're not doing that, so then you know you might be the greatest guy in the world, but you're not. You can't honestly expect to be a part of the yeshiva because you're not doing your part. You're not coming to what you're supposed to be coming to on the Vaden. These are all things. We're not giving this just so it looks good on a, you know, on a promotion. These are things that you're going to have the rest of your life. This is preparation for life. The hashkafas that we're giving every single week, every Friday, we dish up fresh hashkafas that are important not just for today. It's important for life. People, you know, Baruch Hashem, come to me and they say, Rebbe, I remember Shmuz you gave, you know, 18 years ago on this topic, and I still, that's what this is all about. This is not for today. And look how many people came to the Shmuz, and Baruch Hashem, you're here. It's a, you know, it's post-Purim, and we could chalk it up to whatever we want to, but look how many people are not here. And it's chaval, and then they have tainus that, you know, you're not here, you're not coming, so what should I do for you? I'm supposed to serve you like a waiter is supposed to serve people that aren't at the restaurant. And it's very simple to be a Talmid. You just have to show up. You're not asked to be the most brilliant, the most creative, the most, you know, glamorous. We just want you to show up. And once you show up and you approach the Rebbe and you come to the Rebbe and you say, and you share your good things, your problems, your ambitions or whatever, we're here. We're here, it works, it actually works. There are people that have gone through the system 100 times, 1,000 times, and it works, we're here. The formula is good, it's just the one ingredient that's missing in the formula is Talmidim actually coming and being able to be present, to see the Rabbeim, and then Memela, the Rebbe, will be able to in turn see the Talmidim and cater to every single need that a Talmid has. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.